Welcome to the Change Your World Relationships for Business and Family Virtual Summit. This is all brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. And I'm so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Miss Michelle Pinnacolas. So Michelle, won't you take it from here?
You wake from an exquisite dream. You are floating in this delicious sea of love and contentment and relaxation and peace. And the first thing you think of upon waking is, you've got to call your mother because you've got to share this dream with her and she's the person you go to. Then you are hit like a shock in your heart and you remember that your mom's not around anymore. She's been dead for 3 months, and you collapse into a puddle of tears, and your heart is aching, and you scurry under the covers and curl into a fetal position, and you say, when are you going to figure this out? When are you going to make sense out of this? And then you remember, oh my God, today you've got to show up for work and do a presentation for a bunch of clients. And you say, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? And you drag yourself out of bed. And you go into the bathroom and you look in the mirror and you look like five-day-old bread, crusty, dryless, and lifeless. And you say, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to show up? That's what grief does to you. It impacts your life. It changes your life and affects all of your relationships. Hi, I'm Dr. Michelle Pinnacolas. Welcome to Release Your Grief, 3 pitfalls that can hurt all your relationships. Thank you for investing your precious time and energy by listening today. You've made a very wise and bold decision, and I promise you it'll be well worth your time and energy. And I want to encourage you to stay for the whole 25 minutes. Because there's going to be some really valuable education on how to handle grief and loss. And also, towards the end, I want to provide a very special gift for you. So you don't want to miss this. Hang in there. Since we're going to be spending a little time together, I would like to tell you a bit about myself so you can have some context for why you should even be listening to me. So I have over 17 years of experience in grief, loss, and death. I have a PhD in sociology with a minor in clinical psychology. I studied with the grief pioneers, Kubler-Ross, 5 Stages of Grief, and Stephen Levine, who was the first director of the first Conscious Death Project, and also wrote the book, Unattended Sorrows. And wanting to take the conversation further, I created and produced a 3-part documentary film series called Secrets of Life and Death, featuring consciousness leader Ram Dass, who was the author of Be Here Now, and Frank Ostiseski, who was the founder of Zen Hospice and also appeared on Bill Moyer's series On Our Own Terms. I've since completing the documentaries, I've been invited to speak and train and teach at hospitals, hospices, and professional organizations all over Northern California. And my films are used throughout the United States and Canada. I've appeared on Voice America's Good Grief, Comcast's Newsmakers, and KPFA's Women's Magazine. But I have to tell you, it's not always been this way. For many years in my life, I had not a clue about death, and I handle grief and loss pretty much the way we are taught in this culture, which is to tamp it down, put it aside, and move on with my life. But then in 1998, first my father died from Alzheimer's. And I have to tell you that to a certain extent it was a relief because it was very difficult for me to watch my father disappearing, to be reduced from once a brilliant man to gibberish and pushing peas around on his dinner plate. But then, 1 month after he died, my mother was diagnosed with a recurrence of her breast cancer. But this time it had spread totally throughout her body. And after a life-saving surgery and 2 rounds of chemotherapy, she said she had had enough and she was ready to die. And this really shocked me because I thought she was going to get back to her life after my father died. But that wasn't to be. So I packed my bags and left California, where I'm currently living, and went back to New Jersey, where she's living, to help her finish up business. My mother was a toy designer, so I was helping her to finish up some of her projects. And you know, I thought I knew all about death because I had been studying with a spiritual teacher for over 13 years. But you know, I knew nothing about the physicality and the emotionality of death and dying. And I was totally blown away, totally overwhelmed. I just didn't know how to show up and be present. I knew how to be strong. And for a week and a half, I was strong, and then my back went out. And I ran away. I went back to California. And 2 weeks later, my mother died. And oh my goodness, was I full of grief and sorrow. And regret and remorse, because I thought, oh my God, I could have done better. And then I got into these terrible arguments with my siblings, my family, that lasted for months, until I finally realized that I could either let grief and loss take me down, or I could be inspired by it. And that's what I chose. And that's when I got into creating my documentary, and I joined hospice and eventually started leading grief groups. And in 2010, I got a grant from the Lloyd Symington Foundation to take my work to the cancer community, to help cancer patients and their families who are really dealing with grief and loss on a regular daily basis. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do, which is to help people who are struggling with grief and loss. But enough about me, let's talk about you. By the end of our time together, you're going to know why it's important to allow your feelings. Also, the number one way to minimize conflict and get the support you need. And finally, how to create a new story of your life after loss. So the first secret to releasing your grief is to allow your feelings. What do I mean by that? I mean to release the emotional energy activated by major loss. Now, the opposite of that is being strong, like I was with my mom, or repressing the feelings, or becoming hyper-busy. I know that one. That's a really easy place to go. Just be busy every minute of your day. Or drinking, or taking drugs, or watching TV all the time. Although I have to say, there is a place for TV. Or overeating, or premature replacement. Sometimes people who are in a relationship, when they lose that relationship, they try to replace the person, the relationship that they lost. But if it's premature, it doesn't work very well. So I'm going to explain what this emotional energy is. The thing is that loss activates a physiological response in our body. It's part of an automatic survival mechanism. Loss is perceived by the body as life-threatening. And I'm going to explain a little bit more about that in a moment. But what happens is that if you don't release this emotional energy, it gets stuck. And it has physical consequences. A study by the Harvard School of Public Health showed that people who had experienced a significant loss were 21 times, that's 2-1, 21 times more likely to suffer a heart attack after the loss of a loved one than people who hadn't had a significant loss. And that relationship held true even for people that weren't at risk for a heart attack, 21 times more likely. That's a big change. And so why does this happen? Well, it turns out that the body releases after loss a hormone called adrenocorticotropin, or ACTH for short. And this is the same hormone that's released when we are faced with a saber-toothed tiger, when fear is evoked. Because that's what happens, fear is evoked. And this helps set you up for fight, flee, or freeze. So your pupils dilate, your heart beats faster, your muscles tense, the blood goes into your muscles to ready you for fighting that saber-toothed tiger. So it's great for that, but it's not so great for grief because there's no way for that energy to go. So then what happens is cortisone comes in, and it's trying to help you out. So it clears out the ACTH, but it actually lowers your immune system. And this is where you become at risk physically. So it's really important for you to release the energy of loss. First of all, it's really hard to hold it down. It takes a lot of emotional, a lot of muscular energy to hold those emotions in. That's why people who are going through serious grief are really exhausted all the time, because they're trying to hold those emotions down while they show up in public and try and carry on with their lives. But the problem is it can get stuck. It gets stuck in your body. If you don't release it, it stays there. And then this can impact all of your relationships. Years ago, after I finished my graduate studies, I got a teaching job at a small college in Minnesota. This was my first job, and I was really excited, and I threw everything into it. I taught extra courses, I taught night classes, I went to all the faculty meetings, I even coached the women's cross-country team. But at a year and a half, in a two-year contract, I got a letter from the dean saying they were going to give me what they call a terminal contract, a one-year contract. Well, I was devastated, and I actually went through the first and only depression of my life. And then I ran away. And what happened was that after that, every job I took was a job that was below my caliber and qualifications, because I wanted my bosses to want me more than I needed them. But this was a terrible, terrible result, because I had never dealt with my grief. Not until way later, when I started to go into my own business, did I realize how I had cut myself back and sold myself short. So the next secret to releasing your grief so that you don't mess up your relationships is to savor support. So remember, I told you that the physical body experiences grief and loss as a threat to its survival. Well, here's the reason. We are social animals. We are wired to bond. And Mother Nature wants to make sure that we bond, because the human baby takes years and years of dependency before it matures fully enough in order to take care of itself. So Mother Nature wants to make sure that not only the mom hangs around, but the dad hangs around. And one of the mechanisms that Mother Nature uses is a feel-good hormone called oxytocin. This hormone, this chemical, makes you feel wonderful. And it happens, it's released in your body whenever you gaze lovingly into the eyes of your beloved, whenever you hug somebody, and whenever you nurse a child. So you can imagine what happens when a significant bond is broken. Way big loss of oxytocin, not to mention that there's this sense of survival, of, oh my God, how am I going to survive without this person? And so this need, this inside need, this wired need for connection causes us to sometimes make a lot of bad choices and do things that are not in our best interest in terms of getting us the support we need. For example, we tell our stories over and over and over again, and we swamp our friends. Or we try and reach out to our family, but maybe they're grieving too from the loss. and they can't show up. Or maybe we do indiscriminate replacement. That is, we find somebody else to replace that loss. This happens a lot with sometimes with people who have lost a significant other, a spouse or a partner. But it rarely works because when you don't release the emotions, you can't show up. So I had a friend whose marriage broke up. It was a 5-year marriage. And she was actually happy to get out of the marriage, but she didn't deal with the grief right away. And so she went through relationship after relationship after relationship because she wasn't addressing the grief. Finally, when she got around to dealing with the grief and loss, she was able to show up, and now she's in a really, really positive relationship. When our friends pull away because we swamp them, we learn to repress our feelings, and then we isolate and we get depressed. And we pull ourselves out of the world of relationships, and that's exactly what we need. So how do we do that? How can we do that in a way that doesn't chase people away? Well, one of the things you can do is you can request what it is that you need and set limits so the people know what's expected. Because our friends, they want to take care of us. They want to heal us. They want to fix us. But we don't need fixing. We just need to grieve. So if you tell your friends, look, I just need 10 minutes of your time. Let me just talk about my feelings. You don't have to do anything. Just listen. Just be there for me. Then that sets the parameters and helps your friends to show up. Now, the other thing that you need to do is develop your own inner resilience, your own inner team inside of your head. And I go into this a little bit more in my grief and loss breakthrough session, which I'm going to tell you about at the end of the call. So here's a really, really nice quote that describes what you need in terms of a friend to support you. A friend who can be silent with us in a moment of confusion or despair, who can stay with us in an hour of grief and bereavement, who can tolerate not knowing, not healing, not curing. That is a friend indeed. And that quote's by Henry Nouwen. So that's what you're looking for. And when you find this person, you're going to have a lot less conflict. When you take care of your emotional needs, you feel a lot better. Which brings me to the third secret for releasing your grief so that you don't trash your relationships. And that is to change the story. By this, I mean reframe your interpretation of what is happening to you in the loss from victim to empowerment. Now, that can be a tall order because it's very easy for us after a significant loss to feel like a victim. I certainly felt like a victim when that college gave me a terminal contract. And, you know, I didn't go back for that last year. I was so angry at them. But victims are powerless. They have to wait to be rescued. And you could wait a long time to be rescued. So how do you do this? Well, you flip the story. You look at your loss in a different way. You look at loss maybe as a gateway, as power and inspiration, as the wounded healer so that you can heal other people. So in my own case, the loss of my parents motivated me to create a film series, and that blossomed into my life's work. One of the people who I interviewed in my film, her name was Betty, she had multiple losses. I mean, she made me look like, you know, a piker. She lost 2 babies. She lost her first husband. And because she was exposed to arsenic at a young age, she lost a bunch of internal organs. And at one point, she even considered killing herself. But then she came up with this belief that there was a purpose. And what happened was that she became a chaplain. And then all of her losses enabled her to really be present and to be able to help her clients. So grief can be an impetus for awesome creativity. And here's a quote by Rachel Naomi Raymond, Dr. Rachel Naomi Raymond, an awesome doctor and a great writer. She says, at the deepest level, the creative process and the healing process arise from a single source. When you are an artist, you are a healer. A wordless trust of the same mystery is the foundation of your work and its integrity. Now, of course, we don't all have to become creative artists, although I'm sure you know that there have been gobs of music written, films produced, books created, all around grief and loss as being inspired by suffering. Now, here's another thing that I want to mention about changing the story. When you hold on to the victim's story, you actually precipitate the suffering. It contributes to the emotional feelings, the emotional energy. Because our minds, they're such wonderful things, but they don't know the difference between the loss itself and the memory of the loss. So, for example, if something scary happens to us and then we think about it later, it doesn't make a difference. The body is going to react in the same way. It's going to trigger that release of ACTH. So you want to change the story. So today you've learned three very important secrets to avoiding the pitfalls of grief that can hurt your relationships. And those are allowing your feelings, savoring support. That is really allowing yourself to enjoy the support you have and to take it in bite-sized bits so that the people can continue to show up and you can really enjoy it. And then finally, to change the story. Those of you, however, who are currently struggling with loss are likely to need ongoing support to implement these tools, because these patterns of repressing feelings, of putting them aside, of replacement, have come from early childhood and years of reinforcement. So without mentorship, without help, there's no breakthrough. Because you showed up for today's call and listened all the way through, I would like to offer you a gift. It is a complimentary copy of my Essentials for Grieving Home Program. And this has a $97 value. This is a must-have self-study program for anyone struggling with the emotions and limitations brought about by significant loss. It includes a downloadable, illustrated mini-book, Six Essentials for Grieving Well, with powerful steps to ease pain while releasing the emotional energies I talked about that are triggered by loss. In addition, it comes with 7 weeks of follow-up emails that go into even greater detail on how to apply each step. And you can access this course very simply by going to www.griefessentials.com. That's www.griefessentials, GRIEFESSENTIALS.com. And for those of you who need more direct assistance, that are really, really struggling, I am, as part of this giveaway, this gift, I'm giving away 5 complimentary one-on-one grief and loss breakthrough sessions. These are personal telephone calls with me. And in this session, we will look at where you are with your grief, where you would like to be, and what's stopping you from getting there. And you will go away with resources you can help you right away. And this session is valued at $350. So this is not for everyone. This is for those of you who are struggling with a significant loss and are ready for a breakthrough. These sessions will be given on a first-come, first-served basis, so go ahead and get over there to www.griefessentials.com. And when you sign up for the self-study program, you will be provided a link to my scheduler. So I want to thank you so much for coming to my talk, and I wish you you know, all the healing and the support that you need in the world. Take care and have a great day. And if you want to, that's it.